Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It is a wonderful Wednesday, and you have tuned in to Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody, always available to you via our website, BakiMinistries.wix.com/Baki. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Vine, Instagram. We're all across the World Wide Web, reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I'm excited you tuned in today. Oh, my gosh. So in case you haven't noticed or you've thrown some rock somewhere, we switched up our focus a little bit. We're not solely focused on the individual. For the next couple of weeks or so, we're going to be focusing on the family, because family is so important to our communities, our neighborhoods, and our country just thriving. If we can get back to our core beliefs, I really believe that change will manifest and it will be lasting and will affect things for the positive. So with that being said, yesterday's show, oh my gosh, really just went in. I was excited about that. But today's show is going to be even hotter because today we're talking about establishing healthy relationship boundaries and family boundaries. What? Yeah, because when you establish boundaries with people, that's not selfish. That's actually part of your self-care. And people need to know how far they can go and that how much they can influence or not influence. And you have to decide that on an individual level first. And so we've done at least one or two episodes this year on boundaries and setting healthy boundaries. But part of that is you have to know you. Therefore, you can stick to your boundaries and you're not like 3 months later, 6 months later, going through the same situations with the same people. Why? Because you've already established boundaries and you're sticking with the boundaries that you have. One of the best words ever, it does not stop the world from spinning, but it does give you personal space, is the word no. And I know it's hard for a lot of us who are caretakers and givers and, you know, we just want to help and be there for people. But once we learn say no and how to use it appropriately, not just willy-nilly, but use it appropriately with respect to relationships, then people can learn and grow and say, oh, okay, she does have such and such on her plate, or oh, he does have such and such on his plate. I understand why they said no. And when you say no, you don't really have to explain yourself. No is a whole, complete, and total sentence. It just means at this moment in time, I'm not available to be everything that you need me to be because I have something else on my agenda, my plate, yada, yada, yada. So, of course, I was online, and I came across this wonderful article, and it's 10 ways to build and preserve better boundaries. And so I read it, and I was like, that sounds like it would work. But what happened was later on, like if you get into the article, I'll post the link on Facebook. The psychologist behind the article, she's Dr. Gianta. She was like, one of the first things she says is you've got to name your limits. But, again, in order for us to set good boundaries, we have to be sure of where we stand on an issue. And if certain things, like we're going to have a family cookout, you know, it's kind of like the holiday weekend. A lot of people are going to be getting together. If Aunt Susie and Uncle Bill are still having issues after 20 years and, you know, they're siblings and it's some childhood stuff, be like, hey, you both are invited to the cookout. I want both of you here. But the reality is you two do not get along for long periods of time. So if you say, Aunt Susie, if you could come the first half, that would be great. And tell Uncle Bill, you can come the second half. And then, you know, you still get to see the family. And because they can't get along, the tension is lessened for everyone if they take shifts. Or you could set the family boundary rules. Like, hey, you guys all invited over for the 4th of July, but we can only talk about stuff that's happened in the 2000s. Anything that happened before that is off the limits. And if you can't follow the rules, you will be asked to leave. See, clear-cut boundaries. Why? Because we don't want to keep bringing up stuff from 18, whatever. What we want is we want to have family time, and we want to enjoy family time because you only get one family, or some of our cases, we're kind of branched and engraved in other ones. But you only get one opportunity to make memories, and we want to make positive, happy memories, and we want to make lasting, beautiful impressions for this next generation that's coming underneath us. When you are setting boundaries, you kind of have to her next thing that she said was to tune into your feelings. So what I said, you have to know what it is you want and what type of relationship you want with people. And some family members, you kind of have to start them off with a business relationship. What does that mean? No feelings involved. Because we all have family members who will just say anything at any point in time, and you don't know what's going to come out their mouth. But if you know who that person is, you can talk to them aside from the big family function, and you can leave your feelings out of it. Like, Jane, you are just determined to say anything and everything, and you know, although we enjoy that comical side of you, there's a time and place for everything. And so when you say X, Y, Z, it makes people uncomfortable. Or if you have additional relatives coming in or whatever, you're not really asking Jane to change who she is, just filter it down for the situation, which is exactly what she does when she's at her job, because you can't just say anything and everything in a business setting. And so keep it business until people can respect the fact, like, oh, okay, I understand, I see, and you guys can have a real talk and discussion about why it's important for her to be where she is and why it's important for her to say things a different way. And then while you're knowing who you are, know that some stuff that you do is going to irritate people. And oftentimes when you bring stuff to other people, most of us can't stay in that boat of judgment by ourselves. So we're going to flip back and bring something to you. But like, okay, well, I say anything out of my mouth, but look how you dress. You know, something's going to come up. It's going to spark something. But if you keep it business and you keep it professional, then you are raising the level of expectation for the situation. You are setting an example. And again, even though you are setting the boundaries, people will test and try these new boundaries. And so you have to be prepared and ready for that as well. You have to be direct. Like, this is what the problem is. So name the problem, speak directly to that person or that set of the family. You're like, oh, Jim's kids are just so out of control. You need to talk to Jim first, and then you need to establish rules for your house. Hey, I love when my nieces come over here, but, hey, we've got some family rules, and our rules say this, this, and this for our house. Now, and then you don't even have to elaborate, like, I don't know what your daddy allows you to do at his house, but we don't do it. You don't even have to go any further. These are the rules for our house, and you're being as direct as possible. There's no feelings involved. You're not going to take things personally when they say stuff at you because you are aware that stuff is going to come back to you. And so the article goes on and on and on. It's about 10 different things. Again, I'll post the link. But I really want to make sure I get these last three in. Number 8 says to seek support. If you're having a hard time with boundaries, seek some support, whether that support's a group, a church, counseling, coaching, good friends. With friends or family, you can even make it a priority with each other to practice setting boundaries together and then hold each other accountable. We've all done it. January is prime example of when it happens most. We say all this stuff that we're going to do for this new year, it's a fresh start, we're going to do such and such, and no one's going to run over the top of me, I'm going to be assertive. But if you're not practicing that and you do not have a support system, the chances of you sticking with it is kind of slim to none. And so you have businesses set up like that. Gym memberships and everything go down around December, January, because a flood of people are making all these choices. Yes, we are going to be summertime fine. And then by February, March, the gyms are empty again. You've already paid for a year worth of membership, or they've got it set up so it's still coming out your account, whether you're there or not. So they're making money off of you because you're not sticking to your goals, your desires, and the changes that you want in your life. The same is true as you set boundaries. So you have to have good friends around you to say, hey, I thought you said you weren't going to babysit Aunt Ellen's kids every weekend. I thought you said you were going to do some stuff for you. Yeah, well, I know. And so when you come with the excuses, they're there to support you and say, remember why you set that goal. Remember that you need to take care of you as well. Remember that, you know, you want to go to movies and you want to do things, and you can't be all things to all people if you're not anything to yourself. And so that's so important. I know a lot of us don't really want to be accountable. Girl, mind your business. But at the same time, you have to have someone who not only holds your hand, but holds you to your word. Because your word, it means everything. And so you've got to start keeping your word to yourself because you are important. And then you have to keep your word to your circle, to your people, to your family, and to your friends. And you have to stick to that. And when you have people in your life that hold you to that, that's a form of support, and we could all benefit from that. So the ninth thing on her list was to be assertive. And I know sometimes when we're talking to people, this is difficult because we don't want to come off as being like grizzly bearish about it, or maybe we do. But there is a way to say everything. And as you say it, you might have to, well, as you think it, you might have to actually practice and plan that out so it comes off in an assertive way. Like, this is what I said. This is what I mean. I'm sticking to it this time. This is so important. When you are speaking to people, yes, we have to be as respectful as possible. Let the other person know what is bothersome. And, again, we're going to do that in a very direct way. And let them know that you're willing to work together with them. Like, hey, I know sometimes it may be difficult, but I will remind you, I will, you know, we'll set up cues, we'll do whatever, but you have got to, you know, embrace the fact that you are important and valuable, and your limits matter because your life matters. And when people find out they can get an inch out of you, that inch often turns into a yard, and then that yard turns into a kilometer, and that kilometer turns into feet. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. And pretty soon they're at a mile marker. And you're like, what happened? I tried to set up this boundary. It just didn't work. I don't know. I'm not going to do this again. And people will try to guilt you. But when you are assertive and confident and your head is up and you've taken a deep breath and you've practiced and you pretty much know their responses because they're family and you've spent some time around them, that you can prepare your rebuttal. And if some things don't need to be rebutted or it's getting too hot or too heated, it's fine. We can table this and come back later when heads are clear. Again, business-minded, feelings out of it. But I've always depended on you. You can still depend on me, but I have to be able to depend on me as well. And what's best for me right now is that I take this step back and reevaluate some things for me, especially if you're starting to feel the stresses of family, because at the end and beginning of the day, we love them dearly, but some of our family members, boy, can they really put some pressures upon you? And so you have to decide, oh, okay, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the tension in my shoulders. I'm feeling my heart palpitating. I'm noticing some changes with me, so therefore I am making some changes. And when you come at those changes, use as many I statements as possible so it's not like really direct hits towards the other person. Because again, setting healthy boundaries with your family is a form of self-care. It's part of you taking care of yourself so you can continue to live the best life ever. Remember, you still have hopes and goals and dreams and desires, callings that are waiting on you to get there. You still have opportunity knocking at your door. But what's happening is, for many of us, we are allowing life to happen. And it's not even our life that's happening. It's other people's issues that are draining and pulling from us like we're the power source. And we're not. We're not the source of the power. We just know how to connect to the power. And by you being the example and the role model of setting boundaries, you're showing another generation. You may even be teaching the generation before you how to set acceptable boundaries when dealing with loved ones. And therefore, everyone's quality of life is now improving because you're taking the necessary steps to maintain healthy relationships. And no, it's not going to be comfortable at first. And yes, it may be different. And you may not know what to do with that quote-unquote free time that you are acquiring. But you know what? It's worth the investment. When you invest in you, you cannot go wrong. And when you invest in you, you are showing others, you're right, I am worth this. My life is worth this. I value me. I value us in this relationship, of course, because, you know, we're family. But I value me enough to pour in and take steps back and do self-care because I know that I have an important role in this family. The last thing that she said, which I just thought was really great, is a lot of us try to eat a whole elephant at a time. We're like, oh, I'm going to do this. Mm-mm. Number 10, she tells us to start small. Like any new skill, assertively communicating your boundaries takes practice. Start with a small boundary that isn't threatening to you, and then start to increase to more challenging boundaries. Build upon your success, because that really builds you up. Like, men's like, oh, this did work. Oh, my gosh, saying no did not stop the world from spinning. Oh, my gosh, we're still family. She still calls me auntie. You know, small, that gives you framework. Okay, this worked. I can still interact with this person this way. Oh, my calendar is now free because now I've reached out to family members so they can help take cousin Bill to the doctor. They can help take so-and-so to daycare. I don't have to be all things, all people all the time without being anything to myself some of the time. So set those boundaries. Start off small so you can build upon your success. Don't try to eat that whole elephant, because what's the best way to eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Not that I know anyone who's ever eaten elephants. Yeah, we might have to change that to the best way of eating cheesesteaks. I don't know. Eating a veggie burger. I don't know. But the best way to do any of that is to start off small and do one bite at a time. So, like, if you have a to-do list, do one thing at a time. Stop with the multitasking. Stop trying to, you know, address everyone at one time. Sometimes the one of the best ways to set boundaries is to deal one-on-one with people and then work up to, like, a big group setting. Family, I just want to make the announcement. It's 700 people there. People aren't listening. It's hot or it's crowded or it's noisy. One-on-one. And if you have an issue with one family member, everyone in the family should not be directly involved in that issue when it's just between you and that person. When we have these issues with people, we've got to learn ways to communicate with that one person. I know it's difficult. I know when it's family, it's kind of like you have to walk on eggshells, but I promise you it's worth it. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to lose this relationship. Yeah. For some seasons, there may be, it may be necessary for everyone to take a step back and reevaluate, because sometimes you don't miss what you have until it's gone. You know what they say, you don't miss your water till the well runs dry. Sometimes you might have to let some people's well run dry. That is so mean. Mm-hmm. It sounds mean. But for the relationship's sake, when they start to miss you and what you were bringing to the table, then they can see the value in what you were adding to the situation. And for some people, it may take that. For other people, it may just take a conversation over a cup of coffee. It just depends on where they are and where you are. And if you're able to stick with your boundaries, and if you're able to assert yourself over the situation, if you're able to see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is always that you, what, live your life out loud, but you also try very hard to maintain the relationship. Because, again, we are teaching others about relationships. We are teaching others how to interact with us when we show them with our lives rather than tell them with our words. Your life is constantly on display, whether you're a social media addict or not. Someone is watching you and your behaviors, and you're trying to line up your words with your actions. What do you mean when you say this? Show them. What do you mean when you say self-care? Show them. Set up your appointments. Go to your doctor's appointments. Take preventative steps. Do the wellness screenings. You could be talking to your blue in the face to certain family members, but when you start to show them and people start to see the changes, that speaks way more than your words 80% of the time, guaranteed. Because people only hear half of what you say anyway, but people are constantly watching what you do. And when you start to make yourself a priority, people start to understand, oh, okay, that's why you couldn't do everything for me, because you're doing stuff for you and you're growing. And it's not that you think, okay, it's not, you think better of yourself than you used to think of yourself, but you don't put yourself on a pedestal above those who are, you know, family and friends and close to you. Because at the end of the day, we all have an important role to play, from whatever we classify as the least to whatever we classify as the greatest. We all have a role to play, and it's a global role, and we have to get ready and get in position and get well and get healthy and get fit, and we have to support each other. And part of that is self-care, and part of that is setting boundaries, and part of that is being appropriate with others and letting them know this is where I stand. And we can still disagree on the issue and still love each other through it. It may look a little different for a while as you guys try to figure out what that looks like. But for you, you should have some frame of reference in the back of your mind saying, oh, okay, this is how I really want our relationship, and this is what I'm willing to do to get there. Are you willing to meet me? Oh, cool. Then let's go this place together. And not everyone's going to be on board with your changes or your challenges, and that's fine. but you do need to surround yourself with people who are at least moving in the right positive direction. You see what I'm saying? It's like you can't form a study group with people studying five different subjects. That's not going to work. When you form a study group, you form it off of people who are in the same class setting as you, and then you try to have someone who's more advanced than the people who are studying, so therefore you can ask that person and they can give you appropriate feedback. But if you're constantly surrounded by people who are, all right, I want to do trigonometry. Okay, well, I'm doing astrology. What? That's not, we're not, okay. Can we at least get in the same book? Then we can get on the same chapter. Then we can get on the same page. So we're going to be realistic with the fact that we are setting these boundaries and realize that some people, even though we're in the same library, family tree, we are not always going to be on the same page on every issue, because as individual, you see things a certain way. Remember, we talked about the accident scene, five different people see five different pictures. Okay, you see things a certain way, and other people see things a certain way. And while you're setting these boundaries and having these conversations, it's also important to listen, because the same way you see, I think that they're getting over on me, they can see it totally different. Like, I think you're getting over on me. And you have to be willing to hear the feedback and then to listen and then take what's needed and leave the rest, because a lot of old stuff may come up and it may not be comfortable, but it's necessary, because the sooner that we uncover some of these old wounds and some of this old stuff, the sooner the air can get to it and it can heal and it can scar over. And then, you know, yeah, we may have a scar that shows our battle wounds, but we've been through it. It's not a fresh wound. It's not something I'm still nursing. And, you know, the funny thing is, as we grow up and we grow into these situations, yes, we can live in the same area, in the same house, and have two totally different experiences. And so it's important that you know, you're available to hear what the other person thinks. And it may be like far off left field, but just the fact that you are available to listen, and then we'll talk about this in a couple later shows, but also, you know, kind of reflect back what they're saying and hearing like, wait, I didn't even know that you were going through that. And that explains how you're interacting now and why you don't have certain people over and why you have others over. Oh, stuff will start to make sense. But we've got to start with these small conversations and these necessary conversations. So we're going to start with the boundaries. We're going to start with the assertiveness. And then we're going to move forward to more difficult family talks that have to happen for our betterment, for the family's growth, you know, emotionally, spiritually, physically, because we've got to move forward. There's obviously some agendas out there to redefine and reestablish stuff. But those of us who are willing to participate in truth know that we can't do this by ourselves. And so if we come together and unite, yeah, put down certain differences that are not necessary or not beneficial, and we can just come together like, wow, okay, this is the real issue. Okay, so there was this, and that has led to this. And there was this situation which led to this addiction or which led to this circumstance, and that's why you can't. Okay, it can help you gain the better perspective of the situation when you are available to listen through all of this and to make sure, you know, you've been as direct as possible and as respectful as possible. Because, again, with family, when stuff starts heating up, we can go from 0 to 20 just like that. But if you're in a situation where you're listening and available to hear throughout everything, that will help you progress further. And I know that it kind of sounds like I'm repeating myself, but I need to make sure that we're getting the point home that, yes, you are a priority. Your role in the family is a priority, but the relationship within the family is a priority as well. And when we're not communicating, we're not talking, then we can't get on the same page, and then stuff is still going to sit there, and it's going to affect other people. It's going to affect other generations. But when we're willing to say, hey, let's talk, that is some stuff that would just, I don't know, it'll just help heal and mend. I had a family member who I was estranged from, that's what I'll say. We had a period of separation of about 10 years, and it was someone I was extremely close to. Like, this person was so paramount in, like, framing my foundations and my framework for the world. And so for like 10 years, we were not talking. We were not communicating. And I had gotten to the point where, you know, mentally I had to make myself okay with that. Like, okay, I'm just going to love that person from a distance, whether I talk to them, call them, hear from them, didn't matter. You know, of course, I'm still checking online to see, you know, what's going on with this person. But, you know, as far as actually direct communication with that person, it was not happening. And I had to do that for my own emotional security because I'm hearing stuff and then I'm seeing stuff and I don't know what's really true because I'm not talking to that person. I'm getting second and third hand information. Well, some kind of way, one day, I think I called first or they called, something happened where the boundary broke. And so it was actually a good thing because sometimes we put up these emotional barriers that protect us but also isolate us. So the boundary broke. There was a conversation. The person said, hey, why don't you come meet me at XYZ and let's talk. And so, of course, you know, I was like, yes, let's do it. But the whole time going there, you know, I'm palm sweaty. I'm breathing hard. I'm trying to get myself together. You know, I'm trying to cry in advance because I know it's going to be an emotional reunion and I don't know how it's going to be perceived. I don't know what's going to happen. But something inside me knew that I had to go because I wanted to repair this relationship really badly because this person was so important to me. And so I go to the meeting that this person has set up, and so there's dialogue and there's conversation, and I went with no expectations because I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if I was going to get cussed out. I didn't know if it was going to be a bunch of hugs. It wasn't going to be a bunch of hugs because this is not an emotional person. I really didn't know what to expect. So I had no expectations, which is a great thing when you're going into a family meeting, not to expect the worst, not to expect the best, but just go in there with a blank slate and let whatever be and go there in a state of peace. So that's what I did. So get to the restaurant. This person, I have a great exchange. Great. Like, this person's filling in gaps and stuff that happened. You know, I'm apologetical for my role and, you know, what happened. This person appears to be hearing what I'm saying. I'm hearing what they're saying. I'm trying not to process while I'm there because I want to be in the moment. And, you know, I regret I didn't take pictures. I don't know what I was thinking. That was just one day I didn't do the picture thing. But anyway, so I didn't take any pictures. But, like, there was a weight lifted off because I was willing to break down that boundary and that border, and that person was willing to do the same. And when we left, it was pretty good terms. I was like, okay, this is good. And then it hit me, you know, on the ride home, like I'm trying to process. I'm crying again. You know, I'm all in my emotions because I've just, like, what? Wow, this is great. And then something spiritually reminded me, like, wow, this might be the last time you see this person. You know, did you say everything that you needed to say? And were you, you know, as positive as you and respectful as you could have been? I was like, wow. If this really was the last time I've seen it, like, I think that was one of the best interactions ever. And this person's not a social media person. And since then, you know, we've lost contact yet again. But it's not because of what he said, she said. It's because life has happened and neither one of us has reached out again. But I said that to say occasionally those boundaries that we put up, you know, are not realistic. And the people who we needed in our early formative years are still the people we need along the journey. So if they're alive and can, you know, have a, for lack of a better word, come to Jesus meeting, go ahead and set that up as soon as possible because tomorrow's not promised and you never know what information you can get that will help you have a clearer picture. And you never know what information you can give that will help someone else have a clearer picture. Because over years, stuff gets distorted, and we remember things totally different sometimes. And that's a form of self-protection on one hand, and that's also, you know, some of the mental stuff that we'll talk about later. But at the end and the beginning of the day, setting boundaries is not wrong. Just make sure that your boundaries do not isolate and alienate you, that you do not imprison yourself while trying to protect yourself, but your boundaries are realistic and needed and necessary. Do you understand? I know you do because it's a great topic. It's a great thing that we all need to, you know, kind of work on a little more because if we don't overcloud ourselves with other people's stuff, we can better project and be the people that we are meant to be, the salt, the light, you know, the positivity, whatever role you have in the family. You can be that better when you allow yourself to set the necessary boundaries that you need for you. So I hope you guys got something for that. And again, the link to the actual article will be on Facebook. our Facebook page. So if you're not following Baki Ministries on Facebook, today will be a great day to start. You guys have another great one, and we'll be back tomorrow live at 7 a.m. I'm your host, Rev J. As always, may the God of peace rest, rule, and abide with you now, henceforth, and forever. Set your boundaries. Have a good one. Bye-bye.